David Baldacci's books are published in over 45 languages in more than 80 countries. They've been adapted for both feature, film, and television. David Baldacci is also the co-founder, along with his wife, of the Wish You Well Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting literacy efforts across America. With over 110 million copies of his novels in print, David Baldacci is one of the most widely read storytellers in the world. Now he introduces a new character, a man with perfect memory who must solve his own family's murder. The latest is Memory Man, and we welcome David Baldacci back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back.
So why start a new series with a new character?
Well, I think, you know, as a writer, if you don't sort of challenge yourself, you wither on the vine. And I've written a lot of great series and the characters I really have enjoyed evolving over various books. But I wanted to try something different, and Amos Decker is very different. I've never written a character like him before. And I've also been fascinated by the mind and the differences in the mind and what can happen if the mind suffers an injury and it becomes changed, how it transforms a person. So for all those reasons, just great to get out of my comfort zone, you know, get into a new wheelhouse and see if I could really, you know, rise to the occasion and bring this character vividly to life.
So what makes, what do you have to know about the memory? What do you have to know about this condition of being able to do what he does?
Well, you know, I read a lot of books and talk to people about it, and also I have friends who have various, you know, on various spectrums of the autism spectrum, Asperger syndrome, and, you know, people who have terrific minds and very discrete avenues, but also lack some of the social skills or interpersonal skills, can't pick up on social cues that make some situations awkward from time to time. But, you know, the mind can imprison you in itself. I mean, if you have an eating disorder or you have OCD or some type of phobia, even though rationally and logically you know that you can do this without suffering any consequences, your mind convinces you, overpowers you, that you have to do these sorts of rituals and things like that. So I've been fascinated by that, and it's a very fine line between someone who suffers from that and those who don't. You never know what might trigger you, and then you become someone like that. So with Amos Decker, he gets leveled on the football field, and it changes his life completely. He dies on the field, they bring him back, and they find out now that the trauma to his brain has sort of rewired how his brain works and allowed him to realize almost the full potential of his memory capability, which is why he's sort of the memory man. That's a blessing and a curse. It's great as you're a pure detective, which he goes on to be, to have perfect recall because you can remember things, vital clues, and compare them with other statements that witnesses have made and see if there are any inconsistencies. But at the same time, he's a different person. You know, his personality is different. He lacks social skills. He doesn't get jokes or humor. He doesn't understand small talk. He doesn't really get sympathy or empathy anymore. And so it's an albatross around his neck as well.
How does it ultimately work itself out that, I mean, obviously you find this out in the book, but to the point where he can use this to be able to solve crime, in the sense of, because you're not there, right? Even having the perfect memory, I guess it helps you with things that would not otherwise be aware of.
Yeah. He has, you know, great observation skills, which as a writer, you have to have the same thing. I walk down the street and I see the world a little bit differently than probably other people. I'm not sort of zoned into my own world and oblivious to everything else. I notice everything and try to realize the potential of what I'm seeing to make an interesting story. So with him, in the book, you know, he admits that he remembers everything, but just because someone tells him something doesn't make it true. So he might remember something that's a lie, but doesn't know that it's a lie until maybe down the road someone says something else that's inconsistent with that, and then he realizes that maybe there is a problem or an issue there. So it's not like he's a perfect machine, not by any stretch of the imagination. This perfect recall allows him to do some things, but he still has to struggle through a lot of what he has to get to the end of what he needs to do, just like anybody else would. And that really humanizes him. I mean, he's got a lot going on in his life. A lot of bad things have happened to him, so people sort of root for him because he's a guy who's struggling to try to make it through, and that's all really he can do at this point. His family's gone. They were really the only touchstone he had that allowed him somehow to feel normal at certain times. With them gone, he sort of spiraled out of control.
So when did your decision come into play that was it from the very beginning of I want this to be a series character, or does that come in the development of a novel?
it really has varied for me. When I had King and Maxwell, the first one, Split Second, I wasn't certain they were going to come back until I got into the end of the novel and thought, you know what, I've got a nice jumping off point for a continuation of this series and I can have them evolve. With Amos Decker, I sort of knew from the first page that he was such a complex character with such an immense backstory that there was going to be plenty of material there for me to explore in more than one book. So really, I knew very early on that Amos Decker was going to be a series character.
Will there always be that family connection in the sense of what has happened, the tragedy that has happened to him will affect him in some way?
Yeah, he'll never be free from that. Certainly a guy who can't forget anything. He'll remember that as vividly as the day that it happened. So that will always be part of his baggage going forward. The most we can do, anybody who suffered a loss like that, the most you can do, you have to go on living. Your life is always going to be different, and you have to make choices, both large and small, along the way that allows you to, you know, move along with your life, be happy, not always be miserable and sad. Never forget people, but, you know, honor them by going on with your life.
When you have something like this and another character in another series, I mean, is there a fun to that, or is there like, oh, now I have to feed the machine more?
Well, there's a little bit of both, I guess. You know, it is fun and it's challenging for when I revisit Amos Decker and to write a new story that he's going to be in. But I've laid the groundwork, which I think will be a very, really successful and interesting series for people. And then there's a little bit of the trepidation of, well, don't screw it up, you know. So fear is a good thing. Fear is a great antidote to complacency. There's nothing wrong with being a little scared at times.
Well, the book is great, and it's always fun to talk to you. It's Memory Man is the latest. It is out from Grand Central. David Baldacci, thank you very much, as always, for being with us. A great pleasure.
I enjoyed it, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Coming up next, the Congressional Corner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.